Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Ephesians chapter 4, okay. Please turn your Bibles, open or turn your Bibles or turn your phones, whichever one you have. Do you have it on your phone and on your Bibles? Okay, let me read from here for the benefit of those who are listening. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not. Come on, say walk not. Walk not. Now, Paul is talking to Christians. So please pay attention. He said, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt. Please say the old man is corrupt. All right. Say the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. So this short exhortation is titled Putting on the New Man. Hallelujah. All right, we are going to rush, but wherever we stop, if there's a need, we'll continue. All right? Let's look very carefully here. Unfortunately, this kind of teaching should take maybe 2 hours to lay the foundation, or 3 hours, then we now start the main teaching. But we'll take it from somewhere. All right? I want us to look very carefully at the 17th verse, where Paul was speaking, and he said, I testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, if you have your notes or you want to write in your phones, please, I want you to pay attention, because a message like this, if you are not careful, you may just be listening, but you may not be picking anything. But I want to touch on a few things. All right. The first thing I want to bring out here is that there is a type of walk that Paul refers to as Gentile walk. This is the order of natural men. This is the way natural, normal people, this is how they walk. This is the walk there. It's like as though you are walking on the road. There is a way they walk. There is a pattern of living that Gentiles walk. And Paul was saying to us that as Christians, it is very possible, because of who we are in Christ, the liberty that we have in Christ, to almost want to believe that that liberty gives us the leeway or the permission or the space to walk as the Gentile walk. You see, there are certain things that the Gentiles do. You may not be able to say particularly that this thing is a sin. All right, but it's a Gentile walk. There are so many things that as human beings we do. You may not really be able to say, okay, where is it in the Bible that you should not smoke? Because nobody was smoking then. All right? So you may, you can't really point to it and say, okay, this is like outrightly a sin. But you see, there is what Paul refers to as a weight. And there's something Paul refers to as what? As sin. So a weight may not be a sin, but it will weigh you down. There are things that we do, and there are some of us who know there are some of these things that we struggle with, and even though God says, I've forgiven you, but you still notice that for a while, you are depressed, you are not feeling good, you are not confident praying or standing before God, because maybe God told you, don't go to that place, and you went, and then later you started dealing with your conscience. So there are things that are called weight. But this is not even what I'm talking about now. What I'm talking about is the manner of walking, the manner of living. And Paul said that as Christians, we should not walk after the way of the Gentiles. And how did he describe that walk? Paul said in verse 17, he said they walk in the vanity of their mind. Please, I want you to pay attention. And I want you to write as much as you can. Because Paul is giving us very powerful secrets. He said, how do we know the Gentile walk? They walk in the vanity of their mind. You know what vanity is? Huh? Something that really has no value but gives you pleasure. It doesn't have any value. There's a way you can stand in front. Oh my God. Now, you see, when we begin to touch the issue of vanity, people will get offended. Because when you really look at it, you cannot say this is what makes it a sin. If somebody stands in front of a camera and begins to shake her body in a particular way, you cannot point to it in the Bible and say, don't dance. But there is a Gentile walk. There is a Gentile dance. There is a way you would present your bodies, which belongs to God, and instead of letting people appreciate you, they begin to lust. They become sensual. They begin to move away from Christ. And it's not just the ladies, even the brothers. Because now we have brothers who also join them to do the dance. So it's after all the brothers are doing it. That's why I'm telling you that the only way to identify a Gentile walk is by a spirit walk. When you walk in the spirit, when you see a Gentile walk, you may not have even the Bible verse for it. But something is telling you, this is not our kingdom. This is not our kingdom. Now, this is not part of my message, but permit me to just digress a bit and talk about somebody that died 3 years ago. And recently some news came out that, something like this was going on in that church. People were being abused, this and that, you know. And everybody who came out to defend this man talked about his philanthropy, the good things he did. They talked about the miracles. They talked about his preaching. And please permit me to tell you today that any false prophet, the message most false prophets preach is love. Yes. Just write this thing somewhere in your heart. Most false prophets cover up their falsehood in the preaching of love and philanthropy. So they do a lot of giving. They do a lot of support. But if you look at it, you may almost become confused, because Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you what? When you love one another. But the first standard of love, the first thing we need to consider when talking about love is not even giving. It's not giving to people. It's God taking your heart. When God takes your heart, then he can decide how he wants you to love your neighbor. But you cannot choose how you want to love your neighbor and receive divine approval. That one is philanthropy. But you can even give yourself to be burnt and yet not love, as far as God is concerned. I will come in one of these Tuesdays and I will begin to look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And I will show you that all those churches, God had one issue or the other with them. And those issues were put in the scripture so that we can learn and avoid. Because when Jesus comes, those will be the issues you'll be looking at. Praise the Lord. So there is something that is called the vanity of mind. Vanity of mind is like the way you live your life without restraint. You are able to live your life without anything checking you, holding you back. You are pleasure driven. The only thing that makes your heart fulfilled is when there is something pleasurable, something that makes you feel fulfilled, something that arouses the old man, something that makes the old man feel like you can be in Christ and fornicate. Because God is a good God. So before you preach a message, you have to look at who are the people who represented this particular thing in the Bible. How did God deal with them? Did God approve of them? Or did God punish them? Because if God will not punish Sodom and Gomorrah, if God will not judge sinners today, he will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So we have to be very, very careful that God is not a modern God. And if God is saying to Christians today that the things that can take you away from me, they are not necessarily sins. They are vanities. There are things that you can look at and you may not be able to say they are sins. Alright? So, but these things are vanities. It's a kind of work that seeks to blend the life, our life in Christ, with what? The normal human way of living. So somebody will say, oh, we are not trying to commit sin. We are just adults. And adults do what adults do. You see, that's Gentile work. That's vanity of mind. Because really, when you look at it, and you're in a relationship, what are you supposed to be doing? the person cannot be your best friend. There's only one thing that separates two people who say they're in a relationship from two people who say they are not. Is sin. But somebody says, if we both agree and consent, how can it be a problem? If we both agree, how can it be a problem? That's what? The Gentile work, the vanity of mind. It is a way that allows you as a Christian to rebel against God and tell yourself it is not an issue because we both agreed. So Paul is warning the Ephesian church that this is a church that was, this was the church where Paul did the teaching on fivefold ministries, apostle, prophet. So they were a very deep church. But Paul was telling them immediately in that chapter, after talking to them about the fivefold ministry, started talking to them about vanity. So you may be in a church in a city like Lagos, and you may not hear anybody tell you about vanity of mind. And that's why it seems that sometimes we can be in church, even when we say we are worshiping God, but we know we are only vibing to a song that is trending because it's vanity of mind. So you will not see vanity of mind on the surface. It is when you subject it to the test of scriptures, you begin to see that even though what we did was we sang to the Lord, but this thing will not meet the requirement of heaven because what we did was not as led by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 18. The scripture says that having your understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God, true ignorance. Now, what are the things you look for when you are looking at a mind, somebody who is a carrier of vanity in his mind? Now, please understand that as a person, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So, sometimes it may not even be fair to say we are a tripartite being. You are a being that has three major functionalities. But it's okay whichever school of thought you belong to. Please, I want you to understand how this mind became vain. He said, having your understanding darkened. Paul is talking to Christians here. That Satan many times will not tell you, don't follow Jesus. Satan will not many times tell you, oh, don't be fervent in Christ. He will just suggest a thought that tells you you can do this thing and get away with it. Did Gehazi ever think that He will not get away with going to meet Naaman and collecting those worldly goods? He didn't think it would be an issue. Because for him, his master is very old. He doesn't see well again. He said, having your understanding. So, what is Satan's strategy to cut us off from the heart of God? He darkens our understanding. That means you'll be looking into the scriptures, you'll be studying the word of God, you may be listening to the word of God, but your understanding is darkened. You are not getting anything out of it. You are not getting anything out of it. In those days, as a younger Christian, when we sat in church and we heard messages on holiness, we rejoiced. You understand? We rejoiced. Then there are two responses. You rejoice. That's for believers. Eh? Or you become challenged and pricked to further draw near to the Lord. But if you are angry, you are not part of us. How many churches can withstand the preacher of holiness for 1 year, Sunday after Sunday? And people will not request that pastor should be removed. Yes. So that is, by the time you subject even your church, take their teaching and say, if I continue to listen to this teaching and I follow it, will I be closer to God or closer to the world? Not Satan, no. Closer to the world or closer to God? The moment you answer that question, you know the spirit that is working there. Don't worry about Satan. Satan will be fine, but you will not be fine. He said, having the understanding darkened. Do you know what it means to darken something? It's like you are in a room that is filled with light and they systematically began to turn off all the bulbs, one after the other. So it will not happen overnight. You will not get to that place where you begin to ask, how are we even sure that Jesus is the only way? You will not get there overnight. You understand? Then you even get to, you maybe on TikTok or Instagram, you just see one other religion, they're also performing miracles now. You now begin to like, So it's not only Christianity that is performing miracles. That once the goal is about helping people, showing love, it doesn't matter. That everything is about humanity, one love. You begin to hear all kind of things. But what does the scripture say? Say they are turning off the bulbs one after. Having your minds what? Darkened. You see, your mind is the place of contention. When you gave your life to Christ, it was your spirit that became a Christian. Your mind did not become a Christian. Your mind is still that old. Or if you are a fornicator, your mind is still the old, that ancient fornicator. If you are someone that likes to listen to secular music, you have just started. So by the time you try to stop and you cannot stop, then you will now begin to struggle and begin to rationalize. It's just in my mind that I'm enjoying myself. So your mind is now being what? Darkened. You are now having a reason to cohabit with darkness. And Paul was warning this church, you may be very gifted, but it is possible for your mind to what? To be darkened. That means you will look at something that the scripture is very clear about. When it says, come out of them and be separate. And you will not see anything wrong. That after all, two persons of the same gender can be married. You know, after all, the Bible says there is no gender in the kingdom. That there is no male or female. That we are all in Christ. Hallelujah. And there are churches like that now that are preaching those things. That there's no male or female. That what Jesus redeemed was our spirits, not our bodies. That you cannot be judged. After all, people perm their hair and they change the natural texture of that hair. And they are still going to heaven. People wore gowns many years ago. Even Jesus wore gowns from top to down. And he's the Son of God. So what is wrong with a man dressing like a woman? Hallelujah. Having your minds darkened. So if you will hear those things, and the goal of these meetings that we'll be doing during the week is to establish us in righteousness, so that when you see something, you say, okay, I may not have all the explanation, but this is not God. The moment you are seeing that place where you can see, say, this one is not God, this one is God, you are on course. The moment you get to a place where you can say, okay, it doesn't really matter. I think it's just the heart that matters. If both of you, you know, continue to be fervent and you follow God and be faithful to each other. Excuse me. All homosexuals shall find their part in the lake of fire. Even if you edit it out, if they buy all the Bibles and edit it, it won't change God's mind. Where God wrote it originally is still there. It is in your own Bible that you removed it. So there is every time you go online, Facebook, Instagram, what they are doing is that they are gradually darkening our minds. You will find people who believe these things and they are prospering and they are doing so well. So you're like, it's like even this Jesus is not ready to come. So Paul is warning the church against the darkening of the mind. And he said that once your mind is darkened, please look at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 4. He said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated. The word alienated is to be separated. You know what it means to separate? You have a disagreement with your mom or your dad, and they say, okay, move out of the house. Or we remove your name from the will. We disown you. So what Paul is saying is that if you allow your mind to be darkened, then you will get to a point that what? You will be alienated from what? The life of God. What is the life of God? The life of God is that element of that divine factor, that divine element in a man that makes him become a child of God. That means that even though Jesus died and saved you and wrote your names in the book of life, if you don't take care of your mind and prevent it from getting darkened deliberately, you will get to a point in your journey that the life of God will be taken out of you. You will no longer be a child of God. Come on, say God forbid. So many who you find today who are struggling with their faith, go and check them very well. Most of the times, it's in the area of their minds. And the language of the mind, of the soul, is desire. The language of the soul is desire. If you don't understand this one, oh my God, you will not understand why you are struggling. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 3. Let me see if I can quickly get that out. Genesis chapter 3. And verse 6. Genesis 3:6. Do you have it? Do you have it on your phones or on your Bibles? Let me read. Genesis 3:6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. To what? The eyes. Okay? So she saw that this thing was beautiful. How do we determine beauty? It is in our mind. It's in our heart. You may see somebody, oh, I don't like this lady. Somebody says, this woman, I will die if I don't marry her. Because it's in the heart. So you cannot, if you don't know your heart, you don't know yourself. In fact, God's word says, the Holy Spirit said, the heart of man is desperately, not just wicked, though, that when you think you have seen the most of your heart, that's the beginning. You think you can't kill a man? You think you can't do abortion? You think you can't marry three wives? You think you can't marry three husbands? You don't know your heart. You think you are sure? You think you are a Christian because you want to be? It's the Holy Spirit that is helping you to be a Christian. You can't. No man in his right senses will be a Christian. If you're in your right sense, you can't be a Christian, because God doesn't make sense. He said, "Look at that woman." He said, "When she saw, it was when she saw that she began to desire." It was when she saw that she decided to touch. It was when she saw that she began to lust. The language of the soul is desire. Which means, even when you are receiving a particular information in your mind, that information is passing through your mind to help you make a decision for desire. You saw somebody who studied a particular course or took a tech skill, and you saw that, oh, she got a job in a particular company abroad and she's working from Nigeria. You began, let me also do that same course. The moment, and the desire will not come as a desire, it will first come as a knowledge. It will pass through your mind. The moment it passes through your mind, then it becomes a desire. It will create a desire, because without desire, you can't move in that direction. Please, are you with me now? Are you with me now? So Paul said, he said that we have to be careful, because the moment our understanding is darkened, what happens to us? We'll be alienated. We'll be separated from the life of God. You begin to question everything. Because, the pastor says we should be holy as God is holy. Is the pastor holy? You begin to ask, Pastor, I have a question. Are you holy? But you are preaching holiness now. Since the beginning of this year. Pastor, since you have been married, have you lusted after another woman? Oh my God. It's the men we know about. If you know what the women think, you will just open the ground and cover yourself. If you know how many men wish to change their husband, that, I should have known this man will not make it. I'm telling you. So don't worry about the men. Every book will be opened. The Bible says the books were opened. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid, though. He said, you're being alienated from the life of God through what? Ignorance. Look at that scripture. That means every time that I permit myself to receive in my mind another type of knowledge and I accommodate it till it becomes comfortable with me, then I am being removed from the life of God such that I can no longer continue as a Christian. Paul said, it is because I'm what? I'm ignorant. That means there's a knowledge that I'm lacking, which is why we are teaching like this. This is why we are teaching like this. So that you can do some form of forensic analysis on yourself and say, okay, since I became friends with this brother, I notice I've not been able to pray as I used to pray. Not because I don't want to pray, but we have been chatting late into the night, 11, 12 a.m. Now, you will not see in the Bible where it says, don't chat with a lady 12 midnight. It's not in the Bible. But it's vanity of mind. You see what I'm saying? I said this is where the quarrel is now. You will not see it. Now, you know that before now, you used to pray at a certain time. Well, worst case, you sleep. Now, you prefer to wake up tired because of chike. So, the devil is very smart. The devil will never tell you don't pray. He will put chike into your space. He will put ayo. And he just stand like, how's your day? How's your day? How's your day? Wow. We don't have light. Okay, let's be gisting. They take the light. Then you start talking about useless things. So, those things don't add value. You know, the Bible calls them vanity. They are vanity of mind. They don't really, you are just talking, but there's no benefit per se to your Christian life, to your person. You are not talking about the next project you are doing, your office. You are just talking. And people like to talk. Alright? Especially when nobody is going to disturb them. Friday evening is one of the worst days for many Christians because they are not going to work on Saturday. So they have time to drain their batteries and talk. And then the next day you see them, they are looking very moody because the Holy Spirit has made it very clear that they are in sin. What you did yesterday was sin. But if you read the Bible, you will not see it. It's there, but it's not. You will not see WhatsApp. But it's there. Alright? Because you are not a good custodian of the time which the Lord has given to you. You have given your heart and your desire, because the conversation is about desire. You are doing something and you are enjoying it, and that thing is taking your affection for the Lord. So that's why you woke up feeling guilty. It's not because WhatsApp is in the Bible. Somebody misplaced his phone, and in his mind, just say, this is punishment from God. You know about it. Say, this is my phone. God wants me. I need to repent. People are telling her, sorry, sorry. You say, no, don't greet me. I know why the phone was stolen. Because you have been committing some sins. The Lord is like, I need my daughter back. Where are my thieves? Where are my thieves? So I want to give you a phone. Go and take that phone. Then for the next 3 weeks, you're using one very small phone and touch light phone, and then our prayer life will become vibrant again. So it's not everybody that accosted you that was sent from devil. Some of them, it was God that sent the thieves. Because God noticed, out of God's love, he realized if he doesn't take the phone, you will not be okay spiritually. For some of you, you just woke up and noticed your techno phone refused to come up again. Just show blank screen. And that was the mercy of God to restore your destiny, to restore your life. So please, you need to understand when God is moving and when Satan is moving. Because ignorance can cost you the life of God. Not that you backslided though, but ignorance. When you are not aware of how Satan is walking towards you, how Satan came to Eve and was talking about a fruit. Meanwhile, his target was rebellion. And he didn't talk to Eve like, he wanted her to sin. He was selling an ad. Do you know that this kind of product, if you buy this product, it can make you white. If you are black, it can make you red. It's just like a marketer. Do you know this thing? Wow, you have this kind of tree here. My God. We've been searching for this thing. You've not touched it. Oh, my. You people don't. You are backward. In Kentucky, where we come from, this kind of fruit. Wow.
It's millions. It's millions. It's millions. That's how some people gave 500,000 to one online platform and the money just developed wings and flew away. They said they will pay us today, they will pay us tomorrow. Both the money and the person that came to you have crossed over to Ghana. So you have those kind of things. Satan, you need to understand the strategy of how a person's mind can be darkened. Number one is that an appeal will be made to you that looks like this conversation is in your favor. An appeal will be made, and they won't want you to think about it. They want you to do it now. They want you to make a decision now. Marry me now. I'm leaving for the States tomorrow. Give me my answer now. I say, Pastor, God is doing so. God is not doing anything. Because what the Bible says is that those who believe shall not make haste. Many people who are in mortal crisis today, they close their eyes to the warning signal. It's not that God did not talk. Hallelujah. Oh my God. I have about 10 minutes and we are just about to get into the heart of this. So, hallelujah. So you look at the subject of ignorance. How do we tackle ignorance? We tackle ignorance through systematic study of the Word of God. You must understand what the Bible teaches, not what a man is saying. That's why I keep asking, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. People like to listen to pastors, but they don't like to look at their Bibles. Because it's easier to listen to a pastor. But the Bible, it is there, koro koro. Ignorance. Alienated from the life of God. It's there. But pastor will try to make it soft for you. But it's there. So look at your Bible. Ignorance about anything will cost you. Ignorance about, for instance, God's covenant of prosperity over your life. If you don't have the scriptures, people will make you feel like a sin, like a sinner, because you said you want to be rich. The scripture tells us clearly that it is the Lord that delights in the prosperity of his servant. Excuse me. Who does God delight in his prosperity? Did you say his servant? So the question now, the Bible study will now be, who is a servant of God? Are you a servant of God? Are you a God user? Are you using God to get to where you want to get to? Or are you really a Christian? If God answers your prayer now and you find yourself in the UK, will you be a Christian? If you find yourself in a place where there is no church, will you start a church? Do you find yourself servant enough to start to stand anywhere and be the only man who is a Christian there? So that's the issue. It's for another day. The scripture says that you will be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Again, still speaking about this subject of ignorance. Sometimes when you pray, you could be in a prayer meeting and you are praying maybe with someone and the Lord is speaking to that person, but the Lord is not talking to you. Most of the things that account for spiritual blindness, they are not the devil. They are the things we allowed in our space that clouds our mind, clouds our emotions, cloud our standing, our posture, the way we are standing before God. Some people are standing like this, tired. Others are standing ready to march. The Bible says that we are to wait upon the Lord. He said, because it is those that wait upon the Lord that renew their strength. That means they are not being strong. They are always they are like phones that are constantly being plugged into the charger. So they are not tired. They are not spending their energy. They are spending out of the economy of heaven. But most times what we do is that we get charged. We fast for 3 days, 5, 7 days. Then we go for our Yahoo. There's something we call Yahoo. We'll go for Yahoo for like 21 days. By the time we come back, the Christ in you, they've removed the CHR. They left the IST. So now you are not even sure if you're in Christ. You come back, you're always going for retreat and retreat. Why not stay connected? So if we look at the subject of systematic study of God's word, we look at the matter of Christian fellowship. And that's why this year in this church, we're emphasizing Christian fellowship, not just online, physical. Because it's one of the tests of a fervent Christian. Yes. Say, do not forsake the assemblies of yourself as the manner of some. That means even in the days of Paul, some people chose not to come to church because they believed they knew. Say, as the manner of some. This issue we are dragging now, they've been dragging it since then. Jesus was preaching on a particular meeting and 90% of the church walked out because they didn't like his message.
And Jesus had to ask the ministers, the deacons, the apostles, are you also going? So I can go and start from the scratch. Eh? But if you're a man pleaser, you cannot be a servant of God. If Jesus was so bothered about the crowd, he would not say something. Say, you should eat my flesh and drink my blood. Hallelujah. Say, eh? I'm not coming to this church again. This church where they are drinking blood. A blood drinking service. Blood drinking service. Say, this service is for blood drinking. Hallelujah. Hey? Ah. In our church, our pastor is not preaching, but at least he's not talking about blood and flesh. Where is your restroom? Follow the back door. I'll move to the next place. So look at what? Systematic study of God's word. We look at, I'm talking about dealing with blindness and ignorance of the heart. Because when your heart is blind, you may not know. You only notice that you are no more sensitive to spiritual things. Hey, where are they? What are they doing? And they say they are applying to get married. They're already living together. Well. It is where, my sister. Blindness. Because you're like, hey, maybe the wedding is next week. She doesn't want to renew her rent. So she moved in. So as a human being, I understand. But when I put the light of God's word beside your decision, I'm seeing some tears. So if I, as the pastor, or as your Christian sister, Christian brother, now say, okay, just try. You should make sure you're not fornicating. No, be careful. Stay in this room. Let him stay in. Otilo. So we are looking at systematic study of God's word. The moment you find that your heart no longer yearns for the truth of God's word, it is a first signal to you that you need a retreat. Fast. You need to go on a word retreat. Not prayer retreat. Word retreat. Where you begin to study the word. Take your note and your pen, and anything you learn, be writing it. You cannot grow. I don't know how people think they can grow just by reading. No. Because even when we are in school, you cannot just read and understand. Once you read, you have to like jot, you know, and then try to memorize. You know, most Christians today cannot memorize scripture. They cannot. And that's why it's so easy. Because the way God designed us, we must memorize something. So you just listen to one minute song on TikTok, bam, you know it. I even know the singer. But you don't know which part of the Bible I'm quoting. So you look at systematic study of God's word. You look at fellowship, Christian fellowship. And I'm talking about attendance, where the word of God is being taught. Where your confusions can be answered and doubts can be dispelled. And you can grow. You can say, okay, if this is the word of God, I will now make a decision about this thing. For instance, you can tell yourself, anything from 10 p.m., I don't chat with certain people again. You tell yourself, if it's not office, or if it's not my parents or whatever, I don't chat with young guys or young ladies. You tell yourself, if we don't have business together, how far? I just want to check on. Don't check on me. Wait till tomorrow. So if you make that decision, you will not see it in the Bible that don't chat at 10. But because you know what the darkness can do when you are relaxed, in those moments when you are relaxed, Satan can come in and he will never tell you he's the one. He will just come to Eve and be discussing like the weather is very hot, is your AC working? But he's going to that fruit. And it's not really the fruit, it's rebellion. But it will always start like a normal conversation. You look at fellowship, then you look at prayer. There's something about prayer when you stay consistently in prayer. Consistently. And I want to challenge you. I'm going to come back sometime, maybe to be a Tuesday. I'm going to talk about how to break boundaries in prayers. Okay? How you set targets, meet your targets in the place of prayer. It's so important. If you are not fervent, if you are very lazy in the place of prayer, your mind will be darkened and you will not even be able to put on the new man. Wow, my time is up. I will probably have to continue this because of time, but I will bless this evening. All right. So one other word in verse 19, I will just take that word out, but I will not teach on it. Look at verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves
over onto lasciviousness. You see, when you go past your feeling, at some point you no longer give regard to your feeling. You just do something because you want to do it. There's nothing holding you back. It's not even now. Have you ever been addicted to something? And once the thought comes to your mind, you're already doing it, whether you feel it or not. Please, who knows what I'm talking about? So, many of you have never been addicted. You just feel like doing something, calling somebody, without even saying, should I do? You just find that you're already doing that thing. That is what Paul is talking. Say, who passed, being past feeling, you have no more feelings. You do what? You give yourself over to lasciviousness. Do you know what lasciviousness is? Strong sexual lustful desire. It's not just sex, lustful desire. So you see how they started that matter. They started from, look at in verse 19. He talked about how the Gentiles walk. Talked about the vanity of their mind. Then he talked about what? He talked about the understanding being darkened. Then he talked about what? Being alienated from the life of God. And it was a progression. The moment they were disconnected, it pushed them into ignorance. The moment it pushed them into ignorance, what happened? Their hearts became blinded. Even their spirits could no longer respond to God. The moment they got there, it was sexual desires, sexual lust. And the moment you are... The thing about sexual lust and immorality is not about the sex. It's about the covenant. Sexual sin is beyond the act. It's a covenant. The scripture says that he that is joined to an harlot has become one flesh. Which means when you sleep with someone that is not your partner, in the realm of the spirit, you are married to that person. So many people say, Pastor, I don't know why I'm not married. You have been married since 1996. And you have 7 husbands. That you have not been delivered from. These things are not in the spirit, they are in the soul. Because some people don't understand the difference. So they begin to struggle. You see yourself dreaming about them. You see, anytime you see their phone call, you begin to feel as if you cannot resist talking to them. Why? Because there's still a connection that must be broken through the place of prayer. So this, we will continue here, but I want you to please pay attention to what we have said. And this message is recorded, and we probably will put it on the WhatsApp group of the church for everybody to listen to. I want you to pray this evening and ask God for grace to be able to walk in the newness of mind. I want you to pray and ask the Lord. You cannot do this thing in your own strength. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to live above these things. To live up. I want you to pray for yourself and sincerely ask the Lord for grace.